Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you today, to come right before your throne boldly as your children and receive from our loving Father. We thank you for the opportunity to feed on the seed of the word of God, that word that will be planted in our hearts and bring forth abundant harvest, Father. Thank you for teaching us moment by moment and day by day. Thank you for the hedge about us, for our ears open to hear and revelation. We receive that, Father, because we've asked it of you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, the indestructible, the ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, never, never. I'll never be the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. We have been, for the last 3 weeks, working on Romans 5:17, so let's go back there. There's some good stuff in that verse. That's why I keep going back there. And we've been talking about recognizing the fruits of righteousness and the fruits of unrighteousness for some time. And we found out that righteousness is a free gift, something that you cannot earn. It's something that we received when Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, something that was a gift of the Father. You also talked about holiness is not the same as righteousness, that righteousness flows from holiness. And we'll see some of that in this verse and the verses that are to follow. Also, walking a holy life is merely walking the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's basically what holiness is. As I submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, I've submitted to a holy life. So when you think of that, where is Jesus Christ Lord in your life, and where is he not? Where are the things of this world Lord in your life? It might be money, it might be fame, it might be your children, it might be whatever it might be. It might be all kinds of things, your work. These can be gods to you without you even realizing it. It's where you put your focus on. That whatever you put your focus on, and wherever you got your drive in your life, that's where you're. That's Lord in your life. That is a king. It's got a higher plateau than maybe where God does. He should be first in every area of life. It's amazing when you put God first in your life. In every area, it's amazing how those other areas come into line and how they take their proper place. You'll start excelling in other areas that you had them at the top. You'll start excelling there because now God's at the top. One guy said, your family's first. Well, they are, but God's first above that. If I put the family first, then that hedge is not about my children. Okay, but if I put God first, I've automatically put my family first, because then the hedge is over them. It's the same way in our work. It's the same way in our daily life. Whatever decisions we're making, if he's first, then that is first. Okay, because now he's working in those areas. We've authorized him to work. We've authorized him to do whatever is needed to bring the blessings forth. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one. In other words, it had lordship. It reigned. Okay. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in this life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay, so the choice has to be made. This one man died, that put all men under him, died also. That one man's trespass separated. That allowed Satan to reign or rule. Okay? Now through another man, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. when he died and the free gift of righteousness was offered to men, that put us into right standing with himself. Now, because we're in right standing with him, we can reign as kings. Mm-hmm. That's our destiny. What does a king do? You know, just sits there and eats all the time. A lot of servants. Not what a king does. He rules. He's the one in authority. He's the one that when he points the scepter, you speak, you shut up otherwise, you know. Mm-hmm. The one with the buck stops here, you could say. You know, he's king. Well, that's what we are. We are Lord. We have lordship in the earth because of Jesus Christ. But we don't walk in that, do we? We don't reign as kings. We're supposed to be. But we're going to see some other scriptures. So the free gift of righteousness came by the grace of God. His grace and mercy towards us allowed for the free gift of righteousness to come upon all men. We cannot work for it. We cannot do enough to get it. There is nothing I can do to earn that right standing with God. We had right standing through Adam, but then we dropped that when Adam dropped it, when he turned his back on God and sinned. So that made everything born after him sinned also, because we are connected to Adam. So when God gave us that free gift that I could not earn, by his choice, because he had the authority and the right to do it, and the ability to do it, he then put me into right standing with him, if I will agree to that. I cannot live in the old life and live a righteous life at the same time. I have to die. I have to die to my old life, the separated life, and get born again into the righteous life. God made it for a free gift, but I have to take it. I have to receive it. And I cannot do both at the same time. If you're born again, that means you died to the old life. If you're not born again, then you're still there. Okay, the choice is mine. The gift has been offered. And that's just how simple it is. Now, to this... He had to put me in right standing with him. I could not do that. I could not go and apologize. I could bleed all day long and never get to right standing with God. Mm-hmm. The only way before the cross, the only way that I could get in a temporary right standing was to go through the blood and the bulls and the goats and all the sacrifices that had to be made. I had to obey the law to the letter in order to get some kind of a right standing, an atonement, temporary. But because of the cross, it's permanent. Okay, and that's the difference between the two. The law could only take me so far, and I had to live every letter of it to stay in a temporary right standing. I had to live that. And that's not possible. The word even says it's not possible to do that. That's why they had to continuously go in there with the blood of bulls and goats every year and atone for all the sins. Now, there's one that has atoned for our sins. He didn't just atone for them or cover them up. They're destroyed. They're nailed to the cross. He erased our offenses as far as God is concerned. But if we don't receive him as Lord and Savior, we're still living there. We're still subject to that. When we get born again, now we've changed from death into life. Okay? It doesn't mean we're living in that life. Because so many of us never reign, as Paul's talking about here. It says, reign in this life. I'll read that again. For if because of one man's offense, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, or get born again, those who receive it, his unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, what backs that up in Scripture? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "There you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues, the perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He made the choice. He purchased us. We've got to accept that. Revelations 1:5-6. and from Jesus Christ, the faithful, the trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince ruler of the kings of the earth. Who's the kings of the earth? Small k. That's us. Okay? The born again people. To him who ever loves us and has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power and majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. So be it, so be it, so be it. Amen. So he was the firstborn from the dead. What's that mean? Then there's going to be another one. Okay. Who's that? That's us. Because he died first. Now when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, that means we died and we were raised from the dead. We're buried with him in his baptism, in the baptism. Okay? And then raised with him to life. There's other scriptures that we can go to. But and the prince, ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who ever loves us. Have you ever felt like you're not loved? Mm-hmm. Think about that. To him who ever loves us. Mm-hmm. That means ever means he's never ceased. Okay? Mm-hmm. No one can say they're not loved. Mm-hmm. To him who ever loves us and has once, one time, for all, loosed and freed us. How many of us know we're free?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Then why don't we live it? a king is free. I mean, the buck stops here. He's king. It stops right there. Okay? The Lord is trying to get over to us, you are kings in this earth right now. You are supposed to be declaring. We're a whole race of kings and priests. A king is one that rules. A priest is one who offers up. Okay? A priest is subject to a higher. Someone higher. You can't be a priest to yourself. You're a priest to a higher authority. In this case, God. God himself.
Yes.
So every one of us sitting here are priests, according to the word of God. If you're born again, you're a priest to the Most High God. You're supposed to be offering up worship and praise and sacrifices. Sacrifices of joy, sacrifices of praise, of worship. Your life is to be a sacrifice for him. Okay? Every time you resist sin, you've made him Lord in that area. Now, it's not our idea of sin. It's his idea of sin. And sin really is anything that separates you from him. You can be doing good things and be in the middle of sin because it separates you from him. Okay? Anything that separates you from him is sin. That's basically what it is. So we need to be conforming those areas to his lordship. The way we conduct our business. I've been real heavy in claims in Potosi. I had a tornado go through there. A lot of baseball-sized hail. So I've been buried working day and night over there. Well, I've got two pastors I'm working with. And one, his house is two-thirds gone. The other one's his church, you know. So that's my father's house. But I can't treat them any different than anybody else, okay? I have to conform my life to his lordship in that area, knowing that I have to do what is right there, okay? Whatever that may be. It may not be liked or disliked. It may be liked, maybe disliked. But I got to go with what that word says. Not just the Bible, but that policy in front of me. Okay? So yeah, I have to walk the lordship of Jesus in that area of my life. And my rest comes from knowing that I'm his representative. Okay? I'm not the dictator. I'm not the one that says, I'm not going to pay you because you smoke or because you spit on the sidewalk a while ago. That's not got anything to do with it. Do we owe it? Okay, we conform to the letter of the word. Same way with us. We're offering up the word of God to our Father. And that's what we rule with. We take, as kings of the earth, we take what our Father has said. We declare that. That's where our nation is falling short right today. The church is not declaring. They're not standing in their lordship. They're not standing in the king, in the king capacity that we're ordained to stand in. We're kings as long as he's our Lord. We're kings as long as we're standing in relationship with him, a higher authority. Small K, he's got the big K. Okay? We're kings under his authority. Okay? When we step out of that authority, we're nothing. We can do nothing except through him. Okay? So our job as kings and priests is to offer up praise to our Father and to take his word and to declare. That's what a king does. That makes sense? We declare. So, and he paid the price for that. Revelations 5, 9 through 10. And now they sing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it. For you were slain, sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom, royal race, and priest to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth." What did he tell Adam to do? He told him to go forth and take dominion. What's that? That's ruling, isn't it? What's he told us to do? Occupy till I come. Okay? We're not doing that, are we? The church is not doing that. We don't do it in our individual lives, and we don't do it corporately. We're supposed to be reigning as kings with under his authority in the earth today, declaring and taking dominion as we go. The only way we can take dominion is by his word. His word is what we exercise that dominion with. And if we exercise that dominion with his word, it will work. Because he backs it. We're not out there on our own. I can't just make a decision and go do it. It's got to be backed by the word. That's what gives me the authority to speak. Because he said it. That's what I got to realize, that every time I take a promise in the Bible, he backs it. I've got to receive that promise and declare it. And then that becomes my anchor because he said it. Okay? It's not something, I'm not on my own on this. He's backing what I say as long as I stay right with him. Okay? That's the key. Keep my heart right with him. That's walking that lordship of Jesus. As long as I'm walking the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life, conforming my life to his will and way, then that kingship that he placed me in works. I can be a king and not rule. You know? And many of us in the church today are right there. We're not ruling in our own life. I'm supposed to take that promise and to declare it into my life and conform my life to that. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. If I don't do it, then there is one in the world that does rule there. So either I'm ruling in my life by the word of God, by the promises and the commandments, or the enemy's ruling in my life. There is no middle ground. There's no such thing as just me. One or the other is ruling. And I'm the only one that can change that. 1 John 5:14 and 15. We need to know these things because we're supposed to be ruling. And if we don't know if we don't know that God heard us, how do I know that I'm not out there on my own? 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of him. How much more nailed down can you get? Also in the 1 Peter or 2 Peter? The building blocks, I think it's 2 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1. Yep. Let's start at 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Make grace, God's favor, and peace. Here's a definition for God's peace. Which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Do you want that? I want that. For, the for, it connects it to the previous verse, right? His divine power has, past tense, and it's already been done, has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through, in other words, this is how he does it, through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, virtue. So he's already done it. He's already bestowed it. If it pertains to life and godliness, he has already put the promise out there and declared what he would do.
Yep.
He backs that. Now verse 4. By means of these, he has bestowed on us, again, past tense, his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them, the promises, you may escape by flight from the root, from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. What is the divine nature? We ought to know in here. Love. That's the nature of God. Love. So how do we partake of the divine nature? Partake means I got a cake. It's whole. I cut a piece out and I eat it. I partake of that cake. Okay? So, how do I partake of this? It's through his promises. The only way that I can get to the divine nature of God is to walk the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of my life, or the commandments, or the commandment, which is love, to walk that love walk. And then all of these promises I'm able to partake of, his divine nature. It's all connected. Now, if I'm finding these promises, notice it says, by means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them, through the promises, see, we don't have to wonder if it's God's will. Mm-hmm. If he promised it, that's his will. He'll back it. That's why he said it. Art's big on covenant. That's what he did. He spoke a covenant and said, for me, my part of this covenant, I'm going to do these promises. I'm shedding my own son's blood. He's the sacrifice. So I am guaranteeing these promises to you. I will back them with myself. Okay? Now, what's your part? He done all that. I can sit back and do nothing. Which most of us do. We will go through sickness, fear, worry, anger, agitation, self-centeredness, greed. All of these things. We'll live that and be really born again, but we'll live in that mess. And all the time, God says, here's my word. He will get us out of that, but we have to take it. And until we do, until we get a hold of that promise and respond as kings based on that promise, declaring it, using it as our anchor and our solid ground we're standing on. Until then, that enemy has a right to work. He has a right to work, and he will. This is how you control the enemy. This is how you control sickness and disease and fear and worry and anger. This is how you make a change in your life. Is change comfortable? Never. Especially mentally, it's not. Because you're changing a mindset, a pattern of behavior to a new pattern. You can be born again and never change your pattern of thinking. Okay, you can be completely born again and going to heaven and have Jesus living in you, the Holy Spirit residing in you, the power of God. There's only one Holy Spirit, and He's residing inside of us. And have the promises there, say, I will set you free here. And all the time live in bondage the rest of our life. And that's a sad case. But God cannot do anything about that till we do. Mm-hmm. Satan cannot hold us if we will take the promise and act on the covenant. But if we don't, he has a right to rule. Okay, it's just that simple. There's only two that rule. There's Satan or the Lord, one or the other. Satan inherited, he received by default the kingship of this earth. Somebody's ruling. God gave it to Adam. Adam gave it to Satan. So he has a right, and he will take that right. And he does it by deception. He deceives us. Either, that promise won't work. You can't just say it and change anything. God's word says you can. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. There's a process here. You'll speak it, start walking it, the enemy will come along and a voice in your head or in your ear will say, that really didn't work. I mean, what are you basing that on? Do you have any proof? Yeah, I got God's word. Mm-hmm. I've got a Bible, I can read, and that's what it says. Yeah, but that's only a book with words on a page. No, that's a book written by the Holy Spirit, which is sealed in blood. What do you do when you go with to a lawyer or to a judge? You take the law, something that somebody spoke. It's written somewhere. What did Jesus use himself in the wilderness to defeat Satan? He didn't stand there and just say, I am deciding this. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I am the Word made flesh. You bow to me. He didn't say that. Every time Satan came to him, he said, for it is written. Where was it written? In the Torah, in the law. For it is written. For it is written. Every time he answered Satan that way. And Satan backed off every time. Why? Because it's God's word. It's his promise. It's God speaking to me. 21st century me. It's God's covenant word. Written down in the hearts of men. You can burn every Bible and take every evidence of this away everywhere. And it's still written in our hearts. You cannot erase God's word because it's his word. Do I need to know every verse and every word there? No. I need to know the character of God. And his character is love. Everything that flows, all of his ways. I went through the Bible and done a study on the ways of God. Where it says, God is or God does. Those are his ways. The ways of a person, it means how he'll be, it's his very character. If somebody gets mad and says, that's just his way. In other words, that's his way of living. That's what he's become. It's not really his way. He became that way. But anyways, God didn't become this way. He's always been this way. Okay? He is this. Whatever God does has its root and base in love, no matter what it is. Because he is love. That's what he is. Even his wrath and his judgment has its root in love. That's all he can do. He can't do anything else. He's the being love. So I am conforming to his way. As I conform to his way, I'm automatically right. If I walk through my life and I just look at the circumstances and situation to come my way, and I look at the character of God, which I'm supposed to be that same way, as he is, so are we in this world, it says in 1 John. I'm supposed to be walking the character of God in my daily life. As long as I look at the loving way, God's idea of love, the loving way, I'm automatically right. And I'm automatically practicing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. One step at a time. Something comes my way, and I guarantee you, if you start doing this, the Holy Spirit inside you will help guide you. You'll know I shouldn't be speaking that way. Mm-hmm. I should treat him different than that. I shouldn't be looking at that. I shouldn't be thinking about that. I should have responded different to my family. Whatever it may be, you'll know inside you that you've done a wrong thing. That's what 1 John 1:9 is for. Lord, I repent of that. I didn't act in a loving way. Now, you may not see it listed in the sins, but as far as you're concerned, you treat it as if it was, because it's not the loving thing to do. You've released your lordship in that life, your kingship, and now you've allowed him to rule there, the enemy, to rule in that area. And as long as you'll open the door, he's going to come in. He's going to try to rule in that area. And the idea is to move you off of the Word, move you off of your relationship with the Lord. Wherever he can deceive you into moving you off, he has slowed you down, prevented you from the promises coming to pass. He's done something to extend his time. And that's what he's after. The Word is his enemy. And he does not want you to get involved in it. Because once you find out what these promises are, and that you are the one that declares them, once you find that out, then you're dangerous. We're dangerous. Okay? So he does not want us to find this out. And we can find it out and know it and still not do it. Is that not right? You can have it spelled out, and we do, right in front of us, and spend no time in that. I know you know that that's God's Word. Yeah, I agree, that's God's Word. But you don't really have that time today, do you? I mean, after all, you've got all this stuff lined up. You cannot afford to spend time in that today. You've got this job, this and this and this. You've got this claim. You got to go from West Plains to Potosi, up my area, to St. Louis. I mean, to actually St. Louis County line, and to Columbia. You got to travel, man. You ain't got time for this. But I got tapes. There's always a way, okay? There's always a way. Nothing else. You can pray in tongues all day while you're working, and your understanding will be in, your spirit will be enlightened and refreshed, and all the time making your decisions as you go through your daily life. You know, there's all kinds of ways. You can pray constantly that way. But the idea is to move you off, to get you putting something else more important. That's the idea. And when he does it, when he succeeds, then he can rule in that small area. And if he can rule in that small area, now you're compromised somewhere else. Won't you? I mean, I'm being honest with, I'm talking about me, okay? That's how I know this. Because either Jesus Christ is Lord or he is not. And wherever he is not, that's where the enemy's working. Allow the Holy Spirit to point those areas out to you and to me. And then do something with it. Knowledge of it doesn't mean anything until you act on it. And we're the umpire. We're the one that determines the extent of our holy life that we walk. We're the ones that determine if that promise is going to work where I am concerned. Don't ever look at anybody else to determine whether it works or not. Well, I know such and such, and that's all they do is spend time in God's Word. That's all they do, and they still got sick. They still have this cancer working in their life or whatever it is. Why? Because that's an area that they are not versed in. That's the area they're not receiving. That's the area they're not practicing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's something back there somewhere. There's anger, fear, worry, strife. Something's working somewhere preventing it. Because you don't have to talk God into healing. He paid the price already. You don't have to talk him into freedom and deliverance. He's already paid the price. He doesn't have to do anything where that's concerned other than back you up. Okay? That's what he does. When you get a promise in the Bible, there's something like 7,000, one guy said. I don't know. That's just what they say. There's probably more than that. But there's a promise somewhere in there concerning what you're going through. It may not be word for word, but you can see the principle there. You can see the character of God functioning there. But there is something in this Bible dealing with where you are. There's something there. And if you take a hold of that and get a hold of it, then you're going free. Satan cannot stop it. That's how you resist him. He cannot stop the word, because to do that, he has to stop God himself. God and his word are one. They're one. Now, if I'm the promise that he said, and it is his word, then I'm going free. As long as I take a hold of it and I stand on it. That's where I rule as a king in this life. That's what he's talking about. I rule through his word. He will back it. It's unchangeable. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that scripture is Psalms 138:2.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Think about that. So he's taken his word, his promise, and put it above his own name. Mm-hmm. You think he'll back it? That's why Jesus kept saying it is written. He couldn't go no higher. And Satan cannot do anything with that. That's why James chapter 5 says, if you resist him, he'll flee. It doesn't mean you stand there, okay? That doesn't what it means. It means you take the word, you speak it and declare it and stand on it. Paul says to stand there. What's that mean? When you've done all to stand, stand. Somebody's going to move. It's not going to be God. And if you don't, who's going to move? So I know I have to quit there. But let's get a hold of this. Think about it. Meditate on it. Search your Bible for promises. There's even little books that you can get that got a lot of them listed with different various things of promise. Study it. Get a hold of it, especially if you're dealing with something. Get a hold of the promises concerning that. Speak them. The more you speak something, the more your brain becomes renewed by that. The only issue we have that divides us and separates us is this thing right here. We've been born again, but our brain is not. It's got to be renewed. Our mind has to be renewed. And there's only one way that can happen, and that's getting in the Word. And that's where you become dangerous to the enemy. But that's what we want. Why should he pay the price for my freedom and I not go free? You know, I don't want to be an Otis. And even though every time I think of that, I'll shut up in a minute, but every time I think about freedom and what God's purchased us for, I see Andy Griffith. The character on there called Otis. He's an alcoholic. He walks in there, pulls the door shut, locks it, hangs the key up on the side. When he spends enough time, he gets the key, unlocks it, and walks out. We don't have to do that. The door has been broken open. Satan cannot shut it. I have to shut it and lock it. He can't. We're free already and don't know it. You know, so. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the word you've given us today. Thank you for our time of sharing. Lord, thank you for enlightening our understanding, for your promises, for we are free through the blood of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for teaching us who we really are in Christ, and for shining forth that light of your Spirit. For the word says, the entrance of your word bringeth light. It gives understanding to the simple. Lord, thank you for bringing understanding to us. Thank you for the services that lie ahead today. Bless Brother Samuel as he ministers, that your word will spring forth in his life, that hope will be his, that peace will be his, that the word of God will come forth in power and might and teach us, Lord. Thank you for blessing Pastor where he is today, and give him rest, Lord. He needs this time away, and we thank you for the refreshing. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.